When you choose the right life partner, it can 100x or even 1,000,000x your life. It's not 1 + 1 = 2. It's 1 + 1 = 10 million. And when you're not in that kind of a partnership, which I wasn't, it has the opposite effect. Instead of 1 + 1 = 1,000,000, it's 1 + 1 = -1,000. It was an important chapter that I needed to have. It gave me an opportunity to go deep. I had the deepest healing of my life after my divorce. So I sold my last company, got divorced, and moved all in Q4 of 2021. So I basically imploded my entire life.
Hi, this is Karen Kassane. We are back for another episode of the Biohack Your Business podcast. And today I am joined on the virtual sofa with Heidi Decoux. Heidi, how are you?
Great. I'm very excited to be here.
We've got a really juicy episode.
We do.
What are we going to chat about today? And you know, I want to give a bit of context behind this as well. So I'm going to tell you what we're talking about, and then I'm going to let you guys in on how this fits into the whole biohacking and business and all the things. So we're talking today about why your marriage could be hurting your business. And look, let's take a step back from this. You know, this is a biohacking and business podcast. How is this even relevant? Well, let me tell you, it is extremely relevant because one of the best biohacks there is making sure that you spend time with the right people. And that includes your partners, because let's face it, we spend a heck of a lot of time with our spouses, with our partners, with our loved ones. And so if we get that wrong, it can have a massively damaging effect on everything to do with business. Isn't that right, Heidi?
Absolutely.
Let's start with a little bit of your backstory. What led you into entrepreneurship and how has your journey evolved over time? I'd love to unravel a little bit of that first before we get into the juicy stuff.
I mean, I think I kind of came out an entrepreneur. I mean, even in high school, I was saying, like, people are like, what do you want to be when you grow up? I'm like, an entrepreneur. And that was like shortly after I learned what that word means. and I didn't even really have a full context for it. But I was always dreaming up, you know, business ideas. I love finding solutions to problems and optimizing things, making things better. In fact, my friends literally call me the optimizer because I'm always looking at how everything can be optimized. And I love figuring that out and cracking the code on that. And so I came from a very different background, small town, USA, a very hardworking, you know, blue collar, environment. All of my parents and step parents were all blue collar union workers at the same job for 40 plus years before retiring. Those were, you know, the days then and the environment that I grew up in. And I just wanted something different. I wanted to be part of change in the world and making things better. And I just always had the desire to like birth new things and solutions. And so I didn't start out in business thinking I was going to just build and sell companies. It's just what happened. I'm multi-passionate. And once I get something done and off the ground and running, I'm really kind of get bored and I'm ready for the next thing. So I've built 4 companies. I sold 3 of them. I'm on my 5th one now, which is definitely my most exciting one. I'm, you know, really swinging for the fences with this one, creating a solution that I want to just change the world and kind of help shape the future of AI and support solopreneurs, one-person businesses across the U.S. and eventually worldwide. I think that they are the backbone of our economy. They are where our world is going. Gone are the days of my parents' generation of working 40 plus years at the same job and having their pensions. And so now we're going into an age where most people are becoming like a solo business. They're some sort of a freelancer or a creative or, you know, working in some kind of independent role. Fewer and fewer corporations are hiring on full-time, you know, people. They're more hiring like consultants and things. The coaching business is growing, et cetera. And I want to be supportive of them. They have the least amount of resources available to them. The work that they do is incredible. incredibly important. And I want to leverage the power of technology and AI to make their life easier so that they can focus on their good work, their creative work, their, whether they're a therapist or a coach or a consultant or a practitioner, or, you know, or they just have a few corporate clients, like whatever their work is, I want them to focus in their zone of genius and have all of the minutiae and admin and accounting and taxes and bookkeeping and everything in the back end of their business just auto magically done for them. And because that is a really good use of technology and AI and automation, what we need is AI-backed humans so that humans have more time and energy and bandwidth and creative force to do the high-level thinking and work and the person-to-person work. And so I want to usher that in and be, you know, a big part of that and give that support.
That sounds incredible. And actually, the power of leveraging AI, the power of technology and automation, all the things that are literally available at our fingertips today, there's never, ever been a better time to be an entrepreneur, to be in business. Yeah. And I'm totally hooked into everything you said about the business that you're currently building. It sounds like you are a serial build businesses, sell businesses, and just really give back to entrepreneurship and all the things that you do that are involved in that. But the thing that I'm really interested in today is, look, businesses aside, you've built and you've sold multiple businesses, but you said that divorce was your biggest win. Tell me more about that, because that's what I'm really interested in here and how this all fits into the grand scheme of things and the conversation we're having.
When you choose the right life partner, it can 100x or even like 1 million x your life. It's not 1 + 1 = 2. It's 1 + 1 = 10 million together. Yeah. And I look forward to having and being in that kind of partnership. I know that that's available. And when you're not in that kind of a partnership, which I wasn't, it has the opposite effect. Instead of 1 + 1 = 1 million, it's 1 + 1 = -1,000. And although I just to be clear, I don't actually regret my marriage. I did get a lot out of it. It was an important chapter that I needed to have. It showed a light on a lot of just woundings and childhood trauma and things that I had that were unresolved. It gave me an opportunity to go deep. I had the deepest healing of my life after my divorce. So I sold my last company, got divorced, and moved all in Q4 of 2021. So I basically imploded my entire life, you know.
Into your life and changed everything by the sounds of it.
Right. And I went on incredibly needed and important, like, eat, pray, love sabbatical that lasted significantly longer than I anticipated. It was over a year, but it was exactly what I needed. And it got me to where I am today. And now I'm really ready to be in a very healthy partnership where it's the right match and 1 + 1 = 1 million. And so for other women and men out there that are in the wrong partnership, and maybe it, like me, it wasn't entirely wrong in that I do believe it was for a reason and it did serve me. And so I don't have regrets over it. But my best success was getting out, was having the awakening that I had meticulously and painstakingly spent years creating a golden prison for myself, you know, on purpose. Like, I created a whole life that I thought that I wanted, and I did it, you know, it was so much work to do it, only to realize that this was absolutely not what I wanted. It was like a prison. It was suffocating me. It was holding me back. And that I needed then to break free. And it can be challenging you know, I know myself included, and I talk to other, especially women, but there could be men listening too that are in the same position where you spent years, like I said, meticulously and painstakingly building this thing and working on this relationship and doing everything in your power to save it and grow it and create this whole life together. And now you're intertwined in all of these ways. And so to stop and say, I don't want this anymore, but then that means I have to exit this thing that I have put so much into. It's a tough pill to swallow. It's a tough decision to make. And fortunately, we did not have children. That adds a lot, even more complexity for the people with children going through that. Our businesses were separate, although we did help each other in our businesses, they were separate. When you've got that tied up, it adds complexity. So I get it. There might be people listening that are in that situation. And I'm here to say, really, the life that you want is on the other side of very hard decisions.
You can see why it's easier for people just to keep going, can't you? You can see why people actually, even though they're not happy, are just willing to stick with it, hoping it will get better, because actually to change is so much harder than to stay with something. Well, maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but for a lot of people, it just seems easier, doesn't it?
It's short-term harder. There's short-term pain involved with making the change because there will be the emotional stuff, the logistics. I mean, I remember we just once, like, we were actually, the divorce was like about to be finalized. And even after it was finalized, we had a spreadsheet of, I'm not kidding, 63 items, which then we kept adding more things that came up that we didn't realize needed to be done, like untangled, just the logistics of untangling everything. So you spend months after your divorce is complete doing that. And now, you know, someday I'll teach a masterclass and say, ladies and men, let me tell you a few things that you should absolutely never tangle up with a spouse. You should 100% have a prenuptial agreement. I don't even think they should issue marriage licenses without prenups. I think that that should just be like standard operating procedure. And so I have a lot to say about all of that. That could make it a lot easier if there is, you know, an untangling in the future. And definitely I'll do things very, very different the next time.
Like, you need a checklist, and you need to create a checklist that you share with people if you haven't done that already. Because actually, you're right. It's like a massive dissociation of two lives in, or one life into two separate separate parts. And when you've been together with someone for a very, very long time, it can, it must just be so, so hard to do all of that. And you mentioned a short while ago as well about the golden prison that you'd created for yourself. What was the moment that you realized that you were in a golden prison and it had to change?
So there was a moment, we were in kind of deep in the whole COVID thing. And I had a buyer for my business, and we had got, for those of you that haven't sold a business before, you do due diligence, right? So the buyer hired a due diligence company, plus my buyer was getting an SBA loan. So they do due diligence as well. Plus the bank that writes the loan does due diligence. So we have three different entities doing due diligence. So it is a full-time job to go through due diligence, and you have to run your company and do all the regular day-to-day and keep your numbers on while you do the second full-time job called due diligence. And on top of that, the company that I had at the time was in the travel industry in the US and Canada. Yeah, we serve the US and Canada in the travel industry. Everything was grounded. We were still in the early days of it where we all thought we were going to like stay in our houses for 6 weeks and then like the world was going to go back to normal and that kind of thing. So it was still in that time span. But I was doing a lot of gymnastics to hold our numbers together. And then of course, the deeper we got, the world didn't, you know, go back to normal. All of travel got completely grounded. So we had, you know, our thousands of travel agents that, you know, didn't have clients anymore, and they were spending their days just literally canceling trips and rescheduling trips. And so their income was tanked. They were freaking out. We were a monthly membership program, you know, so we were a reoccurring revenue model, and our clients weren't getting revenue to their businesses. And so I had to do a lot of and support to them. Like, also, it wasn't just about us keeping our numbers on in the business, which obviously is important. I have employees to pay and, you know, all of that. But I also cared deeply about our customers and about the quandary that they were in. I mean, these were my people that I served and worked with, and I wanted to make sure that they could weather this storm. And so we kind of pulled out all the stops and figured out, you know, creative marketing strategies that they could do to get their clients to stay on and rebook. And we also pivoted and helped them tap into every bit of like COVID relief money and government money and like all of the things so that they could feed their family and pay their bills in the meantime. So we were doing this huge whole thing. It wasn't like we went from maintenance mode in the company to like full on support mode while I'm in due diligence, while my mother-in-law lived with us and was an extreme extrovert with a lot of health conditions. So I was kind of her caretaker physically, mentally, emotionally. And so then in COVID, getting locked in our house was really bad for her mentally. She went into depression. My marriage is falling apart. We had been at the time trying to have a baby. So we were still in fertility stuff, despite the fact that our marriage was in trouble. It was like a lot going on. It was a very complicated time. And I was working around the clock, completely, you know, stressed out, trying to just hold everything together, hold my mother-in-law together, hold my marriage together, hold my company together, hold my employees together, hold my customers together, like just like holding everyone together. And meanwhile, I am just getting depleted. And there was a moment where, a few different things all happened in one day. One thing of which is we were getting ready for closing of the business. The closing, meaning you sign and the new buyer takes over, and now I'm just transitioning. So this all becomes basically his problem. I still need to stay on and help, and I've got a contract, but like he has to like then run point. And he basically had a major personal issue that was COVID related happen 3 days before closing. We were already in escrow. Technically, he, you know, legally shouldn't be able to pull out of the deal at that, but he called me, and we had become, you know, friends at this point and everything, right? We'd been working together for months through due diligence, and said, like, I have to back out. This is what's happened in my personal life, and it's really significant. And I felt for him, and he said, you know, I know technically you can take legal action. And I said, you know, here's the deal. I won't take legal action. Let's just cut a deal. He had hired the best, most premier due diligence company that he spent a lot of money on that, right? Like $35,000 or something. I said, give me their certified report. So when I go back on the market, the next company doesn't have to pay for that. The next buyer, that's a big win. Also, your SBA approved. I want a certified thing that, you know, this is already an SBA approved business. We don't have to go through this again. It's the best due diligence company, Yeah. And also, he had hired a new full-time gal that was based in the Philippines that was going to help reduce some of our payroll. And he'd worked with her in the past. So she had already onboarded and was great. And I was like, and I keep her. And so we just cut that deal. And, although like I was happy with the deal and he and I, you know, shook hands on good terms, some other personal things had happened that day. And I just realized I was at like a complete breaking point, and I like hit our bedroom floor. Like I just hit the floor and was sobbing and was like, I can't hold anyone else together anymore, let alone myself. And I don't even know where to go from here or what I'm going to do. And I ended up just spending the weekend essentially like in bed. and just going inward, because I was like kind of unfunctional at that point. Like I needed to just step back and just be unfunctional for a few days and just kind of let things
shut down.
Shut down and just like let whatever happens, happens. And I came back from that realizing I needed to make some big life changes. This is not what I wanted for my life anymore. My marriage was not working. I definitely don't want a child with this man. I don't even know if I want a child, period. I don't want to live in the situation caring for everyone. This is very much, you know, holding me back. And so that was kind of the pivotal moment where I just knew, even though there was going to be a lot of short-term pain in the leaving, ultimately it would be set me free, which it did. So those that are in that situation and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so overwhelmed by the thought of untangling this, it's so worth it. I mean, it's a million times worth it. Also, interestingly enough, once I made the decision, things started to flow so much better that, yeah, there is a lot of logistics and there's emotions and all that involved, but I felt so much freer and more open. I was sleeping better at night. I had more bandwidth and energy to deal with it, that although it seems really overwhelming and like, can I even do this? What at least I found to be true, and I've talked to other people that said the same thing, when you make that hard decision, you actually just start to get expansive again. You start breathing.
You release
again.
You start all of the stuff.
Release. And it's like this wind behind you comes up and gives you what you need to go through this process. And the process does have an end date. It was, so for me, it was, our divorce was final January, and the next June was my birthday. And I remember I didn't plan it this way. There was just this day. It was like a few days before my birthday. I was going to be flying back to my hometown, Minneapolis, Minnesota, to see family. And my new condo, which I was living in a Caribbean island. It's very hard to get anything shipped. It's hard to get anything done. It's just like everything's just drama and complicated. And so it was at that point eight months, like trying to get my condo just set up and done, which was a ton of work. So the last of the furniture had been delivered. This gal that helped me kind of with some decor came and fluffed everything. And the painter was there doing touch-up painting. While that was happening, I was on with my ex-husband looking at our spreadsheet, and we were literally checking off the last item on this, like, we had gotten to the point a month before this, we had been continually adding things faster than we were checking them off. And so we basically were like, yeah, we're just going to do this until we're like 80. We kind of had just made the decision that this was going to just never actually end. We were going to continue to find some random account that we were both on or some, I don't know, whatever thing. And we were actually checking off the last thing on the list. And I had this, my buyer had messaged me. So then I did sell my company, obviously found another buyer, ended up selling my company later. I took it off the market for a while and just focused on my customers, went back on the market, and I stayed on longer than our contract to get him just like really set up. So he had actually messaged me that day and said, hey, I think we're good. We were supposed to meet again, but actually like I'm feeling great. I have a handle on everything. I'll just like ping you on an as needed basis. You've gone above and beyond. I don't want to like utilize more. And so I'd gotten that message. My condo's getting done. My ex-husband and I are checking the final thing off the list. And I'm getting on a flight to go back to visit family in like 48 hours. And I had this moment of like, oh my gosh, today's the day. Like I did it.
Oh my God. I just felt that as you said that there, Heidi. Because I was just, let's take a step back. You know that moment where you collapsed on your bedroom floor where you thought, I've just had enough here. Everything is hard. I'm holding everything together. I'm exhausted. Let's think of what's going on in your body at that moment. And your like your mind, your body, like everything is screaming, this is too much. This isn't what I want to do. This isn't working for me. We've got to make a change here. And so getting yourself from that state, and it is a state, to where you've just described, this is the moment. Mm-hmm. I'm free. This is my new life. Everything is falling into place. How did you feel in that moment? And what was the time passage between you on the bedroom floor to you there in that moment going, this is it?
Yeah, it was, let's see, the bedroom floor moment was in 2020. I'm trying to think how far into COVID we were. Probably, I don't know, that year was just so crazy. I don't know, later in the year of 2020. So let's just say maybe summer or something. And then that was, so it would have been a year later, because I think it would have been June the next. So it would have been about a year, approximately. Yeah.
12 months to completely transform your life in every way possible. Yeah. And you know, if we think about what biohacking is, if we think about it in its simplest form, it's knowing what you need to do to get the very best out of yourself. It's knowing what you need to do as a high-achieving female entrepreneur to be able to ride the crest of the wave of your businesses and create massive success in your life and your business. And it seems to me that that 12-month period is what opened the door for that, mm-hmm. opened the door to that for you.
Absolutely. And
this is, I think this is so significant for anyone who is listening to this today, who feels like they are on the brink of burnout, who feels like they're holding so much together. I mean, what advice would you give women or men in that situation who just feel like they have reached the end of the line? Because, and I really believe this to be true, and I think you do as well, sometimes things have to get so bad for you to make that change. And if they're not that bad, if they're just a little bit bad, or they're tolerable, or, you know, it's not that great, but I can put up with it, then people don't make the changes they really desire for themselves. But sometimes, I call it what you want, the universe, whatever.
Yeah.
Sometimes things have to get so bad for it to be that wake-up call. Would you agree with that?
100%. If you're at a breaking point, it's because you've been ignoring the signs that you need to make a change. The reality is, I knew the Christmas. So I decided to leave it was August of whatever year that was. The Christmas before that, I knew inside, I just did not, I wanted to be in denial about it. I wanted to, like, I was just in this, I am going to fix this. I can fix everything. I am a problem solver. But like, and that would have been actually a better time to leave for a variety of different reasons. And the transition would have gone faster. There just would have been me staying. It, all I did was just burn myself up more. Things got more excruciating. So like, the universe is going to just get you to a breaking point if you don't listen. So if you're at your breaking point, it's because you're meant to break. It's game over. You have not been in alignment for a while. You've not been listening for a while, and it is not going to get better until you get yourself into alignment. And the only way to do that is to get quiet and still, and to go inward and to figure out what alignment means for you. And then to make the tough decisions and move towards alignment. And once you make those hard decisions, and once you start moving for alignment, you'll be amazed at how much more energy and vitality is going to come back into you and give you what you need to go through this process.
Yeah, because people hold on to it for a long time. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people hold on to this stuff for years and years and years. And can you imagine what that must be doing to energy, to mindset, to, you know, state of mind, to how someone feels about themselves, to self-esteem and confidence and all the things? There's something really awful about wanting to make a big change in your life, but not having the guts or being bold enough to do that, because that kind of thing does not go away, exactly as you've just described. Heidi, do you think there's something around women in business here where, you know, it's hard to be with someone, or, you know, is there a higher chance, a higher probability of marital breakup or separation or divorce? What, like, I'm interested here in the kind of the role that women have, successful women have a role. And like, is that a recipe for disaster? What do you think?
It's not a recipe for disaster. I mean, statistically speaking, unfortunately, successful women do have a higher divorce rate. I think a lot goes into that at the fault of our society. and, you know, that's kind of it's a whole own, you know, conversation. So I'll just talk from my personal experience is choosing a partner that wants to elevate you and support you and sees your genius and sees that this is a part of who you are and what you want to be and do in the world. And then you in turn also see his genius and want to support him and what he's doing in the world. And it's this partnership that those are the ones that work. And I do know people that are independently both very successful, and they are in really fantastic, supportive marriages that, you know, a million X each other. Also, I know people where the woman is definitely the bigger breadwinner, just has a lot of success, and the man is more in a supporting role, and they're incredibly happy they found. So it's like, it's finding that match.
Yeah.
You know, with me, my ex was always jealous when I had a lot of success, and I was both him and his mom expected just kind of a, what I think is like a crazy amount of homework in terms of like, I was the emotional support system. I was the, like, managed all the details of everything. And he was somebody that wanted to kind of continually make our lives bigger. And like, we're going to have a second home and we're going to have a boat. We're going to, you know, and then he would just do these things. And then it would be my job to like manage that whole new complex thing that we had in our life and help pay for it. And like the whole, you know, and so I just realized like, this isn't the life that I want. This is a very exhausting existence. Now there, you know, hopefully he's going to find a woman that that is a great fit for, that he is a good match for, and they million X each other. And I hope that for him. I am not that. We were not a match. With that said, I'll just repeat, like, I don't actually regret it. I think it was what I needed. It was a chapter that I needed. It got me to where I am today and who I am today, and it got me to do the deep work that I needed to do. And now I know what I'm looking for. I'm very clear on what I'm looking for. So it can work beautifully, but you have to like know thyself and know what kind of life you want to live and what kind of support you want and what kind of support you want to give. I have some very successful entrepreneurial friends, female friends, who want a man that is much more like a beta, supporting role, just kind of follows them around and orbits them. And that's what works for them. And that is a match. And so they found that. And then there's others that want something different. And so it's like, know thyself and find your match where you two are going to elevate each other.
Yeah. For me, this is a lot about self-awareness, like levels of consciousness and intention, like exactly as you said, knowing who you are and what you want. And there's a big thing here as well about, I'm not saying that divorce and separation is a failure, although it can certainly feel like that at the time. But things like this, the biggest failures in life can turn out to be the biggest lessons in life. And, you know, what you said about how you don't regret that this happened, it needed to happen because it's made you who you are today. Heidi today, how is Heidi today different to Heidi when she was married before this all happened?
I mean, in pretty much every way. you know, Heidi today has like a freeness where I feel very good in my body. I feel really aligned. Like, I wake up every day just excited for everything that I'm doing. And I've got, you know, a whole amazing support system of fantastic friends. I'm not being drowned in our life. Like, there was just so much that I didn't have time and space for because I was just drowning in our life all of the time. And now that energy and bandwidth goes to growing my nonprofit that I'm very passionate about. That's my volunteer work, and launching this company that I want to just massively elevate solopreneurs and help usher in something that the world needs right now and to help shape AI. And I never would have had the bandwidth for that kind of a thing before. The partners that I have met, the best friends and the deep friend relationships that I have, the adventures that I have gone on, the self-care that I'm actually able to do now and taking care of my mental, physical, and emotional health. And just because my bandwidth is so much bigger and greater. And when you look, like, I'm about the same weight, but I was going through some old footage and I'm so puffy when I was married as compared to now. And I'm like, but I'm basically the same size. And it's because I just was like inflamed all the time. I was just like, you could just see it on my face and in me, how much like inflammation I had. And now I don't have that. Like the weight is gone. I was like grinding my teeth at night and now I just sleep fantastic. And I never ground my teeth again after that. And I, you know, so just like so many things just open up and free. And so if you're in a place where you need to make a big change or a, like, know that the other side of that is so worth it. There is a beautiful bright light on the other side of that tunnel. Yes, you're going to have to walk through. The only way is through. You can't go up or down or around. You've been trying to do that. I did that for years. I tried to go over the tunnel, around the tunnel, and under the tunnel, and anything to not have to walk through this tunnel. But once you make the decision that you're just going to walk through the tunnel and you're going to be okay, and you're going to walk into that bright light at the end of it, like everything just opens and frees. And
when you're holding on, you said about being inflamed, you said about looking at old photos and being puffy. You wouldn't have noticed that about yourself at the time, I'm sure, but it's not until you do like a before and after and you compare. And this is all about holding on to stress in the body. And that is so damaging to people. It's one of the worst things that people can do is have this low-lying chronic level of stress that never really goes away, because that affects everything about your life. And if you're running a business, especially if you're a female entrepreneur and you've got like financial responsibilities, especially if you're a breadwinner in your family and, you know, there are responsibilities that you need to take care of, then actually running your life like this is destined for trouble further down the line. So if you're brave enough to make that kind of change and just literally say, stop, I can't do this anymore, I want something different. Like you just described, though, with the moment of being in a heap on your bedroom floor in floods of tears, it often takes a really defining moment for that change to happen. Let's talk about what people can do in terms of actionable steps if they feel like that right now. If you were looking back on the last few years of your life, back to 2020, 2021, when this all really started for you, today we're a good few years down the line. So, you know, you can look back hopefully on that time with a kind of sense of clarity and a sense of I've removed myself from that situation. There are lots of people who could be listening to this who find themselves right in the thick of this today. And what they want to know is how they can 10x, 1000x, 1000000x their success as a result of making some fundamental changes to their life. What would you say to them if someone's listening to this right now and they're like, yep, that's me. That's how I feel. I'm exhausted. I'm burnt out. I'm helping everyone else. I'm depleted. I've got no time for myself. I cannot do this anymore. What should they do?
First thing is you've got to get still. You're going to have to just walk away and let things crumble for at least a few days and be okay with that and get still and go inward and take a really honest assessment at what's working and what's not working in your life. And there are things that you're going to want to maybe keep, you know, like you don't have to implode your entire life like I did. It just, you know, depends on your situation. But like what is working and what is not working? And then create like what is that new dream life, or at least the next dream life? This might not be, you know, I think our dream lives are are an evolution, right? Like my dreams today are going to be different than my dreams in 3 years and 10 years, you know, et cetera. And the world's moving so fast right now, faster than, you know, most people realize. I don't even think 5-year plans are worth making right now. The world's going to look so different in 5 years. But so what does the next dream look like for you? What is a day in your life that would just sound so juicy and so good and so freeing? What do you want your non-negotiables to be? What does that look like? And get clear on that. You can, now you've got ChatGPT, you know, I didn't have ChatGPT in 2020, right? You now have ChatGPT to sit and talk to and say, you know, your concerns and your fears and your desires and all of that, and just like flush through and come up with that. And then the next step is, all right, what is the most efficient pathway to going from where I am today to there? Now, efficient is the key word here. I'm not saying the easiest pathway, because often the most efficient pathway isn't the easiest. The easiest pathway is usually actually longer and a little more like grueling. It feels easier because you're like maybe doing it in steps, or you're, you know, whatever. Efficient. What is the most efficient pathway, which might mean doing some harder things in the beginning, but that's going to get you there faster and more efficiently. But you need to assess that. Everybody's situation is, you know, very unique and has a lot of different unique complexities to it. And so, like, for example, if you have children, well, you need to make sure they're on the deal breaker list in terms of like taking care of them through this process and what, you know, that kind of thing. And so, but you can't do that assessment effectively, I don't think, until you go dark for a bit and you get, and just cry it all out, get it all out. And even if you need to just go to a really dark place and like, then do it, just go get in a hotel room or something for a couple nights and just like let things fall apart, just like walk away, get dark and get honest, and then come out of that and say, all right, what does my next dream life look like? What does alignment look like? And what are my deal breakers and what's like a plan now? And then just start flushing through an actual plan and what steps you need to take, and don't be afraid of hard decisions. The other side of these big decisions is freedom and alignment in your dream life. I have a strategy for making big decisions. So if you're going back and forth on something, get in your body, just get like really in your body, settled in. Now think of, if you do option A, decision A, you're going to go down that. In your head, play out that you did option A. Feel into your body as you're playing out option A. Do you feel restricted, like contracted, like, or do you feel expansive and open? It might be scary. It might be a big thing that you don't know how you're going to even pull it off, but there's like an expansiveness to it, a breathing. Your body knows. Your body knows. If you're feeling expansive, that means you're meant to do that and you will figure out the steps as you go. If you're feeling contractive, no, wrong. New, different, go in a different direction. Try a, you know, get in, think of a new solution and get into your body around that solution. Because if you're feeling contracted, that's not the right pathway. You're not aligned.
There's so much about what you've just said that's really interesting here. Heidi, one of the things that I've been doing a lot of myself in my own personal and business development is getting into my body as well. And the breakthroughs that can come from that are absolutely phenomenal. Literally everything you're saying with regards to that is music to my ears. Because unlike you, I'm a problem solver. I'm a scientist. I have a biomedical sciences degree. I want to solve problems. Give me your problem, I'll solve it, exactly as you've just described for yourself. But actually, that will only take us so far. And it reaches a point where we don't want to solve people's problems. And actually, it's not for us to solve people's problems. And that takes us from a problem-solving approach in our heads into our bodies instead. The bit you said about going inwards, about getting still, about even getting yourself in a dark place, in a dark room if you have to, people don't allow themselves to think or to stop. And that's part of the problem. Would you agree?
100%.
Our lives are so busy. Our lives are 24/7. I mean, we might think we're stopping, but how many people can actually stop and not pick up their phone and scroll on social media or whatever? And when there's a big decision to be made, sometimes the only way to reach the right line around that decision is to stop and go inward and to think. And what I'm really curious about is the sabbatical you had and how really that was the catalyst for you. That was the thing that created the springboard for your next life. It's almost like we split it into three. What life was like before, the catalyst for change, and what life is like now. Do you think you'd be where you are now if you hadn't had that time out, that sabbatical, where you went inward and really sat with yourself?
No, absolutely not. Yeah. And I'm grateful that I had the privilege of taking a long sabbatical. You know, I had the financial resources to do that. I would like to eventually be part of a big shift in society where we're actually, this becomes a norm and we're providing this as a society so people can take mini sabbaticals throughout their life. I think that's a very healthy thing to do. And although I'm choosing not to be a mother myself, at least not in a traditional sense, I do want part of my life's work to have a society that shifts the support that they give to mothers, because I think that that's hugely lacking worldwide, especially in the US, hence the birth rates, you know, plummeting right now.
Yeah.
And so instead of having my own kids, I want to be a support and a conduit for change for mothers everywhere. And with that sabbatical, but to get back to your question, yeah, it was a very important part of my journey where I did a lot of therapy. I did mushroom journeys. I just took time. I mean, for a while it was like, I'm just like Netflixing every night and just like letting my brain kind of like shut down. I mean, I have been working. I mean, literally I was creating businesses when I was 9. I'd been working regular jobs since I was 13, actually, you know, babysitting and mowing lawns and like all of the things. And then, you know, I'm, you know, back from the, you know, grew up in 80s and 90s, and you could actually tell labor was less of a thing. So I had a real job at 14. And, you know, I know laws have, you know, changed since then, but, you know, in the early 90s, that was cool. And so yes, I've literally always been working my entire life. And so it was kind of destabilizing because I was like, wait, I don't have a family depending on me. I don't have employees depending on me. I don't have purpose or work. My entire identity was caught up in work and business. It was like who I was, what I did. So all I had was myself and stillness. And I had to like deal with that. And I had to go through this like untangling of my identity. And it was hard at first. I was like, wait. And I actually had a moment where I thought, maybe this is it. Maybe I'm actually going to get like hit by a bus and peace out because like, what value am I bringing to the world anymore? I'm just taking up space and I'm not giving anything to anybody. I don't have a family I'm taking care of. I don't have employees I'm taking care of. I don't have customers I'm taking care of. I'm taking care of no one but myself. And so what value on this planet am I? I'm just going to get hit by a bus and they're just like, this is it. And so I had to just really like go down there and wrangle with that and be like, actually, me just existing is value to this planet. And me taking care of myself is enough right now. And me filling this cup. And, but, you know, that was a journey that I went through. And it took me just getting alone and still and having nothing filling my whole life and creating my identity and making me feel useful to do that. And so it was a journey. Like I said, that whole sabbatical, and that was like the first part of the sabbatical. Then, you know, I went through layers and layers of untangling lots of stuff. And so it did take over a year of healing. And I am grateful that I had the time to do that. And I did some great travel in that time. And, just met with a lot of amazing practitioners and healers and therapists that all contributed to that healing process.
The fact, though, that you said, what is my value here? I'm not taking care of any family or any team or any clients or any staff. But actually, the whole point in this moment is that you needed to take care of yourself. And that was the biggest reframe in all of it. That was the thing that you were being forced to do that you hadn't done up until that point. And that was the very thing that was needed. You know, that those words, that phrase, you can't solve your problems with the same thinking that created them. Mm. And that's exactly what happened for you in that moment. So tell me how this all changed everything for you moving forward. So, you know, that all happened. You took this time out, you sat with yourself, you created a new identity for yourself, you rediscovered who you were and what your purpose was on this planet. What then did that enable you to do afterwards? Tell us about where you are today with your businesses and like your energy and also like your definition of what success is today compared to what it was then, because I suspect that your life then, irrespective of your husband or ex-husband or whatever, your life then was very different to your life now.
Very different. Yeah. So I got to a point on the sabbatical that I was starting to, you know, feel good. I got my creative juices flowing again. I was ready to like work again. I wanted to. So I just started taking consulting clients. I started doing some advisory work. So I worked with 11 different companies in consulting and advisory roles. Then I took on a role as a fractional CMO for a platform that's just kicking ass right now. You guys can check it out at soulbound.tv. Mm-hmm. I'm still an advisor for them. And that, you know, but I was knew I wanted to like launch a new company. So I was kind of turning over stones. I knew it wanted it to be a software. I was getting obsessed with AI. I was seeing the possibilities around human or AI backed humans and how we could be superhuman and really do our creative good work in the world. I mean, my dream, I told my team this the other day, I said, I cannot wait till I can actually ship you each a humanoid robot that spends, that does all of your housekeeping, all of your errands, chores, laundry, dishes, makes your life amazing so that you have time to jump down more waterfalls and, you know, bake cakes or like whatever you're into that rejuvenates your soul. You can work out, take good care of your mental, emotional well-being. You can be in your high creative juice and be delivering your creative value to our company and to your life because all the back end is just getting done for you. And so that's like my dream. And that's what I'm building for solopreneurs, not the humanoid robot, but the offline, the minutia, the admin, all their accounting, their bookkeeping, their taxes just auto magically done for them so that they're using their time. Like I want to save them at least 10 hours a week, plus all the, just the brain kill. And so we can use technology and AI to do a better job, way more accurate, way faster. And then you don't use any of your brain power, bandwidth, or time. You're doing your good work in the world. And you have time to take care of yourself and spend it with friends and family. And so that sabbatical allowed me to get into a space where I could start dreaming this up and do the research necessary and assemble it. And, you know, obviously I had to raise funds, which this is all my other businesses prior, I bootstrapped. When you're building software, it's a different deal. You got to build it and it's expensive. And so I was able to raise money and, you know, do all the things so that we can launch Cashflowy into the world. So Cashflowy.ai is my new baby that I am extremely passionate about. We are in beta right now. We go to market soft launch at the end of June. So cashflowy.ai if you want to jump on the wait list.
Yeah, we'll put all the details for that in the show notes as well. Hey, did you say automagically?
Yes.
I thought that's what I heard. And I was like, was that automatically or automagically? I love it.
I want solopreneurs to feel that the back end of their business is automagically done. they just like click a button and it's like poof. And it's like all that stuff that they used to just stress about and have to like, you know, hire a bookkeeper and email them and not hear back for 3 days and still not have an accurate report and then not understand their numbers and not understand how to make more profit in their business because they don't really understand their numbers. And they, you know, have invoices that haven't been paid that now they got to go follow up with clients. Like we automate all of that, like all of that, so that you're really smart. You know exactly what your numbers are, what they mean, and exactly what you should be focusing on your business based on what those numbers are telling you. And you know it every day in real time. And you look at it in 1 second and you know exactly what to do because we give you the step-by-step and your taxes are like done. 15 minutes for 2026. Our customers are going to be able to do their taxes in 15 minutes, and they're going to be way better than a CPA that they pay $3,000 to because they're going to get them all the deductions because we're leveraging both AI reading the entire tax code and super high level CPAs that give it a human look over. And so they're getting fantastic tax returns for, you know, the cost of like an H&R Block, you know, a very cheap return, but of extremely high quality. And it takes 15 minutes. They're not running around looking for all these paperwork and trying to collect things and trying to understand, you know, things and hoping that they're done right and hoping that they got all their deductions. Like, we're just like, no, the days of that are over.
Yeah. Like, the world has moved on. The world's what I love about this. What I love about this is how this just fits so beautifully to actually what we're talking about. I mean, we're talking about marriage hurting your business. We're talking about how your biggest success has been choosing or extracting yourself from something that wasn't working for you and finding yourself and then using that as a springboard to go on and build something incredible off the back of that. But actually, like this, what we're talking about right now is a whole other podcast episode as well, because this is fascinating too, because it fits really beautifully with what we've been talking about. Because you know, for the woman who is, or the man who is burnt out, who is saying yes to all of the things, who finds themselves in a role living a life they don't want anymore. Maybe they wanted it before, but there's been an evolution and they don't want that for themselves anymore. Then actually, burnout is awful. It can be so debilitating for people. I don't think I've ever been burnt out, but I'm sure I've been close to it a few times. So many of my clients have been burnt out, and the way they describe it is absolutely horrific. And you know, this is the kind of thing that biohacking helps people enormously with, because this is about optimizing you. People put so much time into optimizing their businesses, but don't optimize themselves in the process of this. Mm-hmm. And cash flowy gives people their time back. It gives people leverage. It helps pull them back from having to be the person that does all of the things. It gives them a certain amount of freedom. And all of those things are so vitally important. You mentioned something a short while ago about doing things that really replenish your soul. What things replenish your soul? What do you love doing?
I love going to the beach and just dipping in that beautiful saltwater ocean. You know, I look out at the ocean and I just see expansiveness. I see a life force that is just abundant, like unlimited abundance when I look at the ocean, and unlimited nourishment. So it just makes me feel good to just be in the ocean, soaking in the magnesium and taking in this just abundant, beautiful landscape. So that nourishes me. And then, you know, friends, my house is Grand Central Station. I love to bake healthy things that don't taste healthy that everybody loves, like all the muffins and cookies, but they're packed with antioxidants and they're paleo and this and that. And
amazing.
And so I'm, you know, the house that like, there's always something, they call it grandma's house, 'cause there's just like, there's always something good and healthy coming out of the oven, and there's like love here. And you know, so my friends say it's like coming to grandma's house. You're always loved, you're always welcome, and there's always something coming out of the oven.
Around to your house, because we're gonna hang out in Europe together, which is gonna be super cool.
Lisbon, Portugal. So Karen and I will be neighbors. She's in Bordeaux, and I love making little concoctions. I make my own little shea butter beeswax lip balms and magnesium sprays and body washes and pass it out to friends. So yeah, so nourishment is friends for me, and just having this just full love-filled house, and deep relationships, and then, you know, being in the ocean, which I'll be a little further from in Lisbon, but
I'm going to the ocean. You have to come and hang out in Bordeaux again.
Definitely, we'll come out to Bordeaux again. Yeah, and I'm going to do, you know, long weekends in the Mediterranean for sure. That will be a regular.
And I love the fact that you said, oh, we're neighbors, when actually we're in completely different countries. But that's the difference between the US and Europe. It's like,
we're so close
in Europe, but in the US and North America, it feels completely different.
Right. Yeah. I know. It's funny because growing up in the US, you don't think of it as that big until you get out and you're spending a lot of time in Europe and stuff. And you just realize like how like gigantic it is. But growing up there, you don't feel like that, right? Mm-hmm.
Definitely. And actually travel and freedom and being able to like connect with other people. We talked about the importance of being with the right life partner, but, you know, we just touched on briefly now, like friends and connections and having laughs and hanging out. All of that stuff is so, so important. If you're not finding the time to do that in your life, then you're going to be really feeling it, massively feeling it. This has been great. Really great.
I enjoyed it. Thank you.
We talked about what happens when you get it wrong? What happens when you get it right? We've talked about the uncomfortableness that sits between these two things and how everyone has the ability to change their life. And then like your life can be unrecognizable in 12 months, even less.
If only
you have the courage and the confidence in yourself to make those changes. And look, this isn't necessarily about leaving your partner or leaving your husband or kind of blowing up your life or throwing a bomb into it or anything like that. But it is about being intentional with what you need for yourself to create success and happiness and fulfillment and abundance. And all too often, we're not doing that. All too often, especially female entrepreneurs, I see this a lot, are very focused on the business, very focused on other people, very focused on people pleasing, looking after everyone except themselves. Mm-hmm. And if that's you, it has to change. It really has to change because that's not helping you. It's like, you know, something that sprung to mind earlier, Heidi, is you've got to put your own mask on first. And that's essentially what you did, which is a really powerful lesson.
You do. I mean, you have to put your own oxygen mask on first. And I encourage, you know, people with kids, and I know I don't have them, so I need to be cautious about giving advice. With that said, though, I do have, you know, lots of friends with kids. They've gone through hard things. And so those of you that, because that is a big additional complexity, is there, you're going to come out much, the kids are going to come out much better. Seeing people, parents that are in alignment with themselves and living their best life is like the best thing that you can do for your kids. And when we're talking about getting still, I say this because I had a friend a couple of years ago that she was like, I can't just run off for 3 days. And I'm like, you can't leave your children with their father without like pre-making all the meals. And I'm like, you can, he will figure it out. And if they eat boxed macaroni and cheese all weekend and you're pissed about it, it's okay. It's 3 days out of their entire life. Like, it's okay. You need to just literally walk out that door. No prep work, no nothing. The kids will be alive when you get home, which is all that really matters. And you need to go put your oxygen mask on for 3 days. But what about this? And I said, let it all fall apart. He'll either figure it out or he won't. You need to go away. And so she did. And she came back. And of course, he's stepping up in ways that she had never seen him do. Because guess what? He didn't have a choice.
At a very point, it needed to happen.
And she's like, wow, he's actually capable of stuff. And it's like, yeah, actually. And even if he wasn't, even if that's not what happened, and she came back and everything was like a train wreck and the kids just ate sugar all weekend, that would have been okay too, because you would have had your oxygen mask on and then you get to now make some new decisions. So like, you know, I was in not that exact because I didn't have children, but I was walking away from a mother-in-law that was in depression that I, you know, cared deeply about and, you know, cared for. And I had employees, I had, you know, there was a lot going on and I had to just walk away and be like, mm-hmm. I don't know. Like it just all needs to fall apart because I'm exiting stage right now and I'm going to go put on my own oxygen mask and whatever will be when exactly. I come back.
Yeah. It will all be okay. Everything will be okay. I often say it will be okay because we'll make it okay. And mm-hmm. we have control over that. We have control over the outcome. And I think people forget that sometimes. They think that their external circumstances dictate everything about their lives. That's not the case. It's actually our own internal thoughts, beliefs, vision for our own life that creates the life that we want, not anything to do with the external environment. Amazing, mm-hmm. Heidi. Mm-hmm. Heidi, thank you. I'm really curious about everything we've talked about today. It's so interesting to look at this different perspective of biohacking and entrepreneurship and business and how actually the people we choose to spend our time with can make all the difference. They can light us up or they can knock the wind out of our sails. It's like that phrase, a rising tide lifts all boats. And when we get in a room with the right kind of people and we spend our lives with the right kind of people, then we really feel it in our lives and in our businesses as well. Amazing. Thank you for joining me on the Biohack Your Business podcast today. Everything that we've talked about, the show notes, the links to what we've talked about and how you can connect with Heidi, check it all out in the show notes. Thanks for listening.